Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining Michelle's 3 Cents. I am Michelle Murray, your host. So we've just embarked on a special series where we are going to focus on the California Plus America pageant, of which I am a part of. I'm so honored to walk amongst these beautiful, talented, kind women who are changing our communities one action at a time. And so over the next week, we'll hear about many of the platforms that are happening and give you an opportunity to find out how to help. But most importantly, we will dispel some myths and bring you some facts on the various platforms out there. We've got all kinds of great stuff. We have women tackling cancer, people dealing with autism as a platform, homelessness, the people who are underfed. There's all sorts of ways these beautiful women are making an impact. And so today we will start with my platform. So I am the Ms. North Hollywood delegate for 2019 for the California Plus America pageant. And again, I am completely honored to be in this position. And so before I go into my platform, I know that some people are saying, okay, I've heard of Miss America, but what is this Plus America thing? What's that all about? Well, I tell you, it embraces beauty, professionalism, and volunteerism within the plus size community. Basically, if you look at their website, that's what it's going to tell you. And so the women involved with that, myself included, we're going to promote things like healthy self-esteem, community awareness, and again, volunteerism. Okay, so women throughout the state of California, come together for this wonderful sisterhood. That's really what it is. It's a sisterhood and a commitment to those communities that we live in, that we work in, that we play in, to enhance it while being the best us that we can be. So that's a little bit of background on that, what that's about. So my platform, and many of you know this, it's nothing new for me, deals with homelessness. For about the last 10 years or so, my son and I have been heavily involved with both homelessness and nutrition, and not just people who don't eat at all. Typically, we focus on people who are what's known as underfed. Underfed meaning, just what it says, they're not getting enough to eat. By FDA standards, supposedly a person can subsist on 8 pounds of food per week. So typically, if somebody's getting a primary source from the government, that's what you're going to be allocated, is 8 pounds of food per week. But to put that in perspective, if you took 8 cans of green beans, right, and you set it on your counter, that's 8 pounds of food. Or if you took 4 bags of rice and 4 cans of 16-ounce cans of corn, that's 8 pounds of food. And that is what it said that you can survive on that. But the reality is, we all know 8 pounds of food is not enough. 8 cans of green beans is not enough for you to be healthy and feel well during your week. And some people don't even get that 8 pounds of food a week. So my son and I, for, again, about the last 10 years, we have focused on distributing food to people who find themselves in that boat. We don't always focus on people that meet FDA guidelines by income, because what we have seen is the people that most fall through the cracks are the people who work every day and maybe had some sort of experience, a doctor bill, a medical bill, a divorce, a car repair. It's something that just knocked them out of their regular routine, and there just wasn't enough money for food this week. So those are the people that we distribute to. And for years and years, my garage it looked like a food pantry. And we have, we take donations on a regular basis and distribute it as needed when we see a need. And we do go out in the community and we try to target groups of people who would not normally present themselves in a place where assistance is available. So that means sometimes, at Walmart, we're having people sign up as they either want to contribute a canned good or two, or as they find themselves in need, and we'll sit and meet with them privately apart from there. Also, we go out in the community, behind the dumpsters, behind the Walmarts, behind the Targets, and there are groups of people that almost, I call it like a hidden society. They're embarrassed, they don't want to be bothered. Whatever their reasoning is, they kind of hide out from society and just suck it up and drive on. You know, they keep it to themselves that they're not eating enough. They keep it to themselves that they've lost their job or that they're homeless or whatnot. So that's the demographic my son and I typically target. And with that, as I'm sure you'd probably think, we find a lot of homeless people. But now, interestingly, the myth out there, the pervasive myth is people are homeless because they're on drugs. People are homeless because they drink too much. You know, they're homeless because they were chasing a dream and picked up and moved to Los Angeles, and now they're living on the street. And the fact of the matter is none of those things are true. Absolutely none of those are true. If you look at the homeless situation across the country, 14% of all homeless people do not fall into any of those categories. Also, mental illness is another one. We tend to say, oh, well, it's because they're crazy. That's why they're homeless. But if, across the board, 14% of homeless people in America do not fall into, only 14% fall into that category. Only 14%. So the other 86% of people are not in that situation. Now let's look at Los Angeles in particular. When we look at Los Angeles, less than 6% combined of the homeless population has a drug or alcohol issue. Less than 6.2% have a mental health issue. So these other 80-something percent, this other 86%, what's going on with them? Well, there's different things that go on with them. And again, typically a traumatic life event is the biggest thing that causes people to spiral into homelessness, particularly in Southern California where rents and mortgages are sky high. You know, you get a divorce, your income's cut in half. Now what do you do? Well, you might hope to find a roommate, but what happens when you don't find one in time? Even though you're working one, two, some people even three jobs, well, now you can't afford that $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a month by yourself, and you get evicted. And when you get evicted, if you don't have a friend or family member, you do wind up on the street. And also with that, let's just clarify the definition of homelessness. It means that you don't have a consistent place to lie your head at night. That's really what it means. Under that definition of homeless, people are sleeping on each other's couches or whatnot. They're sleeping behind dumpsters. They're sleeping behind stores because they don't have a specific place. So when my son and I, through our ministry, go out and target these people, we look at the cause, the causation. Desmond Tutu once said, and this is something that sticks with me, that we can't just pull people out of the river. We have to stop and see why they're falling into the river, or they will continue to fall into the river. It's very much like that with homelessness. Like, to me, that is the perfect analogy when it comes to the homeless situation. We have to look at the root cause and find out why are these folks falling into the river. So in the greater Los Angeles area, on any given night, we have roughly 52,000 Los Angelinos who are homeless. Now think about what I just told you. About 86% of those folks work every day, some of them two and three jobs, but there's just not enough money. They have enough money for their car payment or to eat or to buy shoes for their kid, but there's just not enough money left at the end of the payday to go get a house or to go get an apartment or to find a roommate or to rent a motel. So they find themselves living precariously. So, again, one of the things we do in determining the causation, my son and I will sit with these people and do employment suitability screening as well as benefit screening. And what that means is, you know, we have different employers we work with who will take a paper application and sit with some of these folks and help them get through the application process. because in some cases it takes an additional job. In some cases, there, you know, one lady we spoke to had gone through a divorce, hadn't worked in 30 years, and she just needed a job, but nobody wanted to hire her because she didn't have the experience. So we'll sit with folks like that and help them gain some kind of employment so it leads to a longer-term solution than just, oh, here's a blanket, oh, here's a bag of food, because that, truthfully, is just a Band-Aid that, you know, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. You know, a Band-Aid is not going to help a broken leg at all. So that's what we kind of target in that situation. We do give out donations, and thanks to all, you know, my wonderful listeners, my friends, my church family, everybody that contributes to that. We do give donations of things, but our focus is to look at the causation. I come from a place in Texas that the homeless situation is very different from what it is in the greater Los Angeles area. On any given night, the city where I am from in El Paso, Texas, we have approximately 1,300 homeless people on the street at any given night. Approximately 1,000 of those, they meet the criteria of homelessness, but they're actually sleeping on somebody's couch, you know, going night to night in the motel, whatever the case is. And only about 324 actually identified statistically by our homelessness coalition as being on the street, as being unhoused, where I come from. And if you look at that, a very, very, very small percentage of those fall into the mental health issue, the drugs and the alcohol as the reason for chronic homelessness. And once again, it also goes to there was an incident. There was a traumatic incident, and that's why these folks have now become homeless. So for me, what I do when I'm in Los Angeles, I think, okay, what are we doing different in my hometown of El Paso, Texas? And the biggest thing is we look at the root cause and address that. The city and county and even the state of Texas where I'm from is very good on targeting that root cause and fleshing out a plan for these folks to avoid the chronic homelessness that we see in the Los Angeles area. So now, to Mayor Garcetti's credit, he too has begun to look at the causation of homelessness. In the past, what we've done, we have these big donation drives and we give them a coat, we give them a blanket, we give them a little bit of food, we send them off to the rescue mission, to the LA mission to spend the night, and we think that we've saved them. And we haven't. We may have spared them a hard night for the next 24 hours, but we've literally done nothing to attack the causation of their homelessness issue when we do that. So one of the things that Mayor Garcetti has done differently, and I applaud him for, he's working with the various homeless organizations within the greater Los Angeles area, and the LA Mission and the Dream Center stick out to me, and we'll come back to talk to those. But they know that people are working every day and just can't make ends meet in our area. So affordable housing is a big thing. Now, landlords will balk at that because you're cutting into their income. But Mayor Garcetti is building some affordable housing. We just had 100 units open, and there are plans for more. And one of the criterion, you know, part of the criterion for coming here, you can't just say, oh, I need affordable housing, plop, let me come here. No, what you have to have is a plan of action. So there are counselors, people like me, in place that are going to work with you to develop and devise a 1 or 2 year plan of action so that you don't fall right back into the cycle of homelessness. So you don't fall, because once you fall into that cycle of homelessness, it's so easy to fall into other cycles. It is easy to fall into alcohol abuse. It is easy to fall into drug use. It is easy to even spiral into mental illness if you were teetering on the edge when your situation becomes that precarious. So I definitely applaud Mayor Garcetti and the efforts he's making. And if you're not aware, there's so many fabulous initiatives in the Los Angeles area. Go to lamayor.org and check out what Mayor Garcetti is doing. And you might even find a project or two that resonates with you and you choose to volunteer on it. I would love that. There's all sorts of initiatives, and you know, we just had literally $500 million infused into our state for homeless initiatives with Proposition H and Proposition HHH. That gave about $500 million to different municipalities to be able to tackle the causation of homelessness rather than just throwing a Band-Aid on it. You know, another thing that Mayor Garcetti is working to do is to decriminalize the act of homelessness. Many times these homeless people are treated like criminals simply because they cannot afford a house, simply because they live in a tent. And in the past, police have seized items, thrown away their items, you know, without warning. And I would say without cause. The cause is that it was against the law to be homeless, basically. So in enforcing the law, you know, they would basically traumatize these folks even more. So Mayor Garcetti is working ardently to, he's not giving any pushback. There's a lawsuit. So he's not giving any pushback as far as decriminalizing that. There are what's called safe parking lots being established now around the greater Los Angeles area for someone who finds themselves sleeping in a car or sleeping in a tent. There's certain places that they can park, and what it does, it makes it safer for everybody. Now you don't have to worry about somebody being in your neighborhood, sleeping in a tent, and you don't know what's going on, or maybe somebody robbing you because they're sleeping on the street in your neighborhood. They're putting them in, they're allowing them to have a safe spot in these parking lots. Nobody's going to harass them, but counselors are available to address the root causation. And that's the biggest thing. Again, the root causation. Until you get to that, nothing else really matters. And so I have, in addition to my own ministry that I do with my child, I have three really great organizations that I work with. And so for my platform as Ms. North Hollywood, it's very important for me to be able to work with homelessness on a national level, on a grand level, because it's not just something that impacts us in the greater Los Angeles area. It's not just something that impacts us in Texas, where I'm from. It is a national issue. And we can take the good things that they're doing in other areas and bring it to Los Angeles, and maybe we're doing some good things that we can share. And so for me, you know, I work and play in the greater Los Angeles area. I'm from Texas, so I'd like to build that bridge and be able to help both of those communities. What's going well in one could certainly be brought to another, and vice versa with that. So in my hometown of El Paso, Texas, I work primarily with a women and children's shelter called Dame la Mano, and in Spanish, you know, that means give me a hand, loan me a hand. And that place is fabulous in the sense that many people don't know this, but when you go to a shelter, families are separated. A husband goes one place, the wife goes somewhere. If there's kids under the age of 12, they can go with mom. If there's, say, a teenage boy, well, he's got to go to the men's side, and these families are split up. So that also gives people a little angst about going to a shelter. Well, at Dame la Mano, if a woman presents there and she has a teenage son, that's fine. He can room there with her. And that emotional stability, that emotional support helps these families to heal. Typically, these ladies, you know, they come for different lengths of time. But at Dame la Mano, they're encouraged to kind of make a plan to do better in their life. So I really applaud them for that. And currently, I have another friend of mine, and we just started going down there twice a month, basically to mentor one-on-one these ladies and help them see that their situation is not hopeless, and to help them make a plan and hold them accountable to it. So again, Dame la Mano is really important. And also in my hometown, my son and I, we do the street ministry and go out and find people. And then some of what we're doing here in my hometown, we take that to Los Angeles. So we do the street ministry there, and you know, I help process as many people as I can, as many people that will allow me to push them to different resources, to process them for even education. A lot more times in Los Angeles, I do help people process into school as well. So school, employment, or even just basic benefits like Social Security or something like that. You'd be surprised how many people don't even realize what sort of benefits that they are eligible for. And so also in the greater Los Angeles area when we're there, the Dream Center is a real big one that we work with, in part because when Matthew Barnett, who is the pastor at Angelus Temple, where we attend church, oversees the Dream Center. And that congregation, you know, heavily works with the Dream Center. So that's how I got involved with that. And coming up in April, and I'd love to invite anybody who'd like to participate, they're having an event. It's called Dream Shot, Hoops for Hopes, basically bringing hope to the homeless community in Los Angeles. And that's going to be on the 12th and the 13th. And basically, they're challenging everybody to come together, whether it's a team or individual, make 52,000 free throws in under 24 hours. It's kind of a race against the clock to raise awareness of the homelessness crisis in Los Angeles. And so, and the hope is that, you know, each participating person raise some funds that can go back into the Dream Center. And if you don't know about the Dream Center, I tell you what, Google it, check out their website and see the fabulous things they're doing. They have dormitory-style housing where they address the causation of what's going on with these folks, no matter what it is. And some is drugs, some is alcohol, and some is just life. So look them up and find out. And if you can come out on the 13th, I have a team going. It's under KMP Entertainment, which is my business, and I would love to have you on my team. Absolutely would love it. And the other organization I like to work with is the LA Mission. And, of course, the LA Mission is very popular because it's the largest entity in our region that targets the homeless population, the homeless situation. And they have a lot of fabulous resources that people may be unaware of. Many people think, okay, you can just go there and get off the street for the night or get a hot meal. But they have counselors, they have resources who really do the same thing that I do in my street ministry. They address that causation by benefit screening, employment screening. Do you have an identification? Okay, let's help you get one. And that's something my son and I do because it's very important. Without an identification, these folks have their hands tied. There's not a whole lot you can do because maybe they fled an abusive relationship and they had to leave everything behind. Maybe it expired and now they don't have an address to have a new one mailed to. There's different reasons for that. But that's a big thing that causes people to kind of spin their wheels, is not having that. Or perhaps, you know, the identification has been suspended because they had a traffic ticket they couldn't pay or whatever the case is. So that's one of the first steps is, you know, do you have some identification? Do you have your Social Security card? Let's get you another one ordered, you know, whatever the case, and then going from there. Also, it's important to find out, you know, what are your interests? One of the questions I typically ask is, if money was not a problem and you could make a plan to do something to change your life, you know, what career path would you pick? What would you do? And typically I try to start there with, you know, what their passions are. What do they like to do? And if it's feasible, we'll make a plan based on that. But at any rate, our time is winding down. I'm going to have to let, you know, let this come to an end. But I hope that I've sparked some interest. I hope some of you will connect with me on Facebook, look at some of the projects I'm involved in. I hope you will connect with the California Plus America pageant, see some of the projects that the other ladies are involved in, because, again, there's lots of platforms besides mine. LA Mission, Dame Lamano Women and Children's Crisis Center, and the Dream Center. Check them out. See how you can be involved. See how you can show another person that they matter. And sometimes that's all it takes to help a person break their cycle, is just to know that they matter. Give them the greeting of the day when you see them on the street. Ask them how they are and be sincere about it, you know. And something as simple as that can literally impact somebody's life forever. So, again, thank you for tuning in to Shell's 3 Cents, and I am your host, Michelle Murray.